Valentine's Day. Are you celebrating by giving flowers, cards, or candy to loved ones? Hi, I'm Rob West. Expressing your feelings on Valentine's Day is a great tradition, but it's only one day a year. Today, I'll share things you should do all year round to ensure your Valentine's Day is a happy one. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Okay, this is a show about biblical money management, and that's always our focus. Today, we'll look at it from the perspective of couples, primarily married couples, but I suppose some of this could apply to any relationship you have with others. Now, money is always cited as one of the top reasons marriages fail. So knowing how to handle money within that relationship is key to preventing finances from harming your marriage. Put another way, wise money management contributes a great deal to the health of a marriage. So there are four things you should always do, according to Faith and Finance contributor Art Rayner. First is to always act with complete transparency about your finances. Secrecy destroys trust, an absolutely essential element in marriage. For example, if you open a credit card account without your spouse's knowledge, you're destroying trust and potentially putting your marriage at risk. That secret account also becomes a temptation to run up debt, which just compounds the problem when your spouse inevitably finds out. You might call that financial infidelity. The solution is simple. Never do anything in secrecy. Strive for open and honest communication about money as you would in any area of your marriage. Unless both spouses know everything that's going on with your finances, you can't work together to solve problems and achieve your goals. The next way to have a happy and healthy marriage is to have a financial plan. If you haven't already done so, sit down with your spouse and put together a plan for managing money to achieve your goals. But just having a plan isn't enough. You have to stick to it. If you deviate from it without your spouse's knowledge and approval, it'll cause problems in your marriage. That relates back to transparency. Sticking to your agreed-upon financial plan shows respect for your spouse. That special person you vowed to share everything with will feel more connected with you when you always act to preserve the financial health of your marriage. Make sure any departure from your financial plan has the full knowledge and approval of your spouse. It's okay to make changes. Everyone has to occasionally, but keep it above board. The third way to ensure a happy marriage is to always put your spouse first, not your parents. Parents are, of course, a great source of wisdom and advice, but there's a limit. Taking the counsel of your parents about money or anything else above that of your spouse will begin to crack the foundation of your marriage. This may be more common than you think, so it's no surprise that the Bible addresses the potential problem head on. Genesis 2:24 reads, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And of course, wives should hold fast to their husbands as well. Now, the last way to keep your marriage happy may be even more difficult, and that's putting your spouse above even your children. You both love your kids, and maybe you think you would do anything for them, but don't. It's a tough one to swallow, but your first commitment is always to your spouse. Don't put your kids' wants over the counsel of your spouse. It's more important to keep your marriage healthy and strong. Also, in many cases, continuing to help your adult children when they make bad financial decisions means they're more likely to keep making them. They won't become financially independent. They won't learn to save and spend money wisely. They won't learn that to get something, you have to earn it. The earlier you train your children to manage money wisely, the faster they'll learn, and it eliminates a potential huge conflict down the road with your spouse. God's Word addresses this too. Proverbs 22:6 tells us, "Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it." Remember that you're helping your kids by saying no at times when they tend to repeat the same mistake again and again. So those are four ways you can maintain a happy marriage and ensure that your Valentine's Day will always be happy as well. By the way, we always encourage you to have a monthly money date, a time for you to communicate and make course corrections, not finger point as it relates to your money decisions. Perhaps you can add that this year moving forward. I think it'll make a huge difference. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The opening lines of John 1 always leave me exhilarated, and when you learn the background of the Word, it gets better. That word, logos, doesn't even mean just a singular word. It was always a reference to a conversation, a long-form report, and the Greeks sometimes took that idea to talk about the divine. John did too. In the beginning was the conversation, the report, the revelation. God has been revealing himself since the beginning, and that revelation became flesh. That's what John is saying. Jesus Christ isn't just a man pointing us to God. He is God's very own revelation. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Take a time out in the corner.
Refuse to allow anything, whether they be relationships, whether they be friends and family members, whether they be a Supreme Court refusing to hear a case, whether they be any election results, no matter what it is, refuse to allow those things to eclipse the preeminence of Christ in your life.
The Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on AFR. The podcast is available anytime at afr.net.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, let's take your questions today. 800-525-7000. We've got a few lines open. That's 800-525-7000. We're going to begin in Ohio today. Hi, Lois. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. My question is this. I've been married for 38 years, and I'm embarrassed to say that I've been trying for several years to get my husband to make a plan, a financial plan, and he's retired. His financial plan is just getting his retirement, but he's been really reluctant to do any kind of planning at all. And I've always been wanting to do that. Every time we've tried, it just seems to not work. And he's very, you know, he just digs his feet in harder and doesn't want to do it. So I would be very open to your suggestions.
Yeah, Lois, what do you feel like is tripping him up? Where does, you know, things go awry as you lean into this each time?
Well, I think that part of it is we don't have any debt. The only debt we really have is he's paying his truck off. And that's about it. And then other than our regular bills, and we usually have money left over to do things, but there's not much of a, you know, there's other than getting his retirement, and I get a little bit of Social Security, but I still work. You know, we still seem to be able to survive, and that's maybe that's the problem.
Yeah,
we always seem to be okay, but there's no backup. You know, there's no backup if anything drastic happens. I think I would like to have some kind of retirement, maybe put some money away in an IRA, and I thought about maybe doing that just myself, but I just would like for him to come along with the plan.
Yeah, well, I think that's critical. Do you all have an advisor that you've worked with at any point along the way?
Well, my son works for Fidelity. So we have had a few people, but not really one person that is currently. And he can't really advise us because, you know, you can't do that with your family. So that's maybe that's what we need to do. But that will be interesting because he won't want to do that either. He won't want to go see a family advisor.
Sure. Well, I think you've got to start by making this a matter of prayer. Just ask the Lord to really allow the two of you to communicate well as you approach him on this. The second is really just to have a heart to heart and sit down and say, listen, you know, I think we've done a good job. And, you know, it's not like things are going off the rails. And yet I would have a lot more peace of mind knowing that we have a plan, that there's intentionality behind where we're going as we manage God's resources. This is an important responsibility that God has entrusted to us as he's given us, you know, these assets to manage. And I want to make sure that both now and, you know, someday if you were to pass on before me that, you know, I have a plan. I know where we're going. I know that we're on track and we have some goals. And that needs to start with your values. What's important to you all? What do you want to be true about now and in the future with regard to your family and what you have in terms of your ability to save and have resources to support your needs beyond your working life, at least for pay, and that you have the ability to give as the Lord leads, all of those things. And that's not going to happen without intentionality. Because the longer term the perspective, the better the financial decision you can make today. But you need to know where you're going in order to do that. And it allows you to have a reason for any kind of sacrifices you're making in the short term to dial back your spending and your lifestyle so that you can ultimately save toward your goals, because those are important to you. And you all have talked about the why. It's not just that we want to accumulate resources. No, we want to be able to do certain things in the future. We want to make sure that, you know, both of you are provided for, regardless of who goes home to be with the Lord first, and that, you know, you all have the ability to ask God what's next in this next season of life, and perhaps even be redirected away from paid work. I mean, none of that's going to happen without a plan. And I think as you share your heart in that and say, you know, I'd love to bring an advisor into the equation because I can't hold myself accountable. And, you know, an advisor can ask questions that you wouldn't ask yourselves and help you determine with some rationale and some, you know, financial backing behind it, determine where you all are headed. And are you on track, ahead or behind with regard to your long-term savings? And I think that will give you some clarity. Now, if he's resistant to that, you know, obviously you can't force that, but what you can do is just share your, not a lot of finger pointing, but your heart to, you know, help understand where you all are headed and the fact that you can't do that without an advisor. But I think that third party is going to be key, Lois, for you to finally have a plan that you can all buy into and, you know, will give you some peace of mind that perhaps he doesn't feel like he needs, but maybe if he understands how important it is to you, he'd be willing to go along with it. But give me your thoughts.
Well, I like the idea of praying about it because that's something I really haven't done. I pray about all these other things, but that I haven't prayed about. So that will be my first plan is to pray and then to approach him and share with him that, you know, that it's important to me. It would give me peace of mind and then see, you know, we know plenty of financial advisors. We know people. So it's not a matter of not having somebody. It's just a matter of him not wanting to do it. But I like the idea of the prayer and then sharing with him and then seeing where it goes from there.
Yeah. And, well, and be open to the advisor that you all select, because what he may feel a lot better about is that you go to somebody that you all don't know. You know, certainly not your son, yeah. But even somebody who's an acquaintance, he may not feel comfortable opening up your financial life. So if you go to our website at faithfi.com and click Find a CKA, perhaps you could find a certified Kingdom advisor that, you know, you all haven't known previously, but you would select for this purpose only. And I think the other big idea here is that, you know, none of us know how many, you know, hours or days or years we have left until the Lord calls us home. But if he were to predecease you, you want to know that you've got a plan and that you've got somebody that you can turn to rely on, who, you know, is going to have all of your financial information and help you navigate what you need. Well, now is the time to put that person in place for both of you. And so I think that piece of it, perhaps, you know, if he understands that, he may be a little bit more willing to go down this road, especially if it's somebody that you all don't know personally.
I like that idea. Now, tell me the name of the website. I couldn't hear you.
Sure. It's faithfi.com. Fi is short for finance, faithfi.com. And if you click Find a CKA, CKA stands for Certified Kingdom Advisor. These are men and women who've met high standards in character and competence and experience and integrity, but they've also been trained to bring a biblical worldview of financial decision-making. So this will be somebody, Lois, that shares your values as a believer and can help you navigate your financial life. And what you would be looking for initially is just a financial plan to say, can you look over our situation, look at the assets that we have, our age, our goals, help you do some discovery, ask some questions perhaps you haven't thought of, look at what insurance you have in place, and then just come back and help you all put together a plan moving forward that you at least know where you're headed and what your milestones are along the way. And then you guys have something you can work toward and something you can, you know, work off of as you're making decisions day to day and month to month. Sound good?
And it's great. And it's faithfi.com.
Yes, faithfi.com. And just click Find a CKA. Hey, God bless you, Lois. I'll be praying for you as well for that conversation. We'll ask the Lord to work as you all talk about this. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us. Much more to come just around the corner.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from LightPoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LightPoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at lightpointportfolios.com.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
On Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's Valentine's Day, which means we're thinking about our loved ones, and perhaps there's chocolate or flowers involved. But what about money? Yeah, I know. Stay away from that topic on Valentine's Day. No, money doesn't have to be a source of conflict. When we lean into it and we work together and we communicate and we understand that God has wired each of us differently. One might be a spender and one might be a saver. And as we bring together our money backgrounds, whether you've been married 5 days or 5 years or 50 years, you know, we've got to be able to talk about the differences we have and how money was handled even growing up and how that shapes whether we clench it with a tight fist today or hold it loosely. But together, we can be a more accurate reflection of what God wants to do in our lives. We just got to start with our values. What's important to us? Where is God taking us as a couple or as a family? And how can money be used as a tool to accomplish that? And once we have a vision for where we're going, whether that's to live a life of simplicity with a modest lifestyle, whether that's to be able to give generously or be able to build relationships with our family, you know, whatever it is that's important to us, now we know why we're doing it. And we can make better decisions in the short run, even sacrificing, because we know the bigger why. But it involves communication. And once we have that plan, the budget, the spending plan, becomes an instrument of peace. Because now we've got a plan that gives every dollar a name. And perhaps each of us, husband and wife, have our own personalities reflected in that budget. Maybe there's a part that I get to do whatever I want with, and she gets to do whatever she wants with. But it's built into the plan. That's the key. And so we're moving forward together, and then we make course corrections along the way. Well, try that today. And as we talked about with our previous caller, maybe make it a matter of prayer. Ask God to work as you all come together and talk about where you're headed in the days ahead. All right, let's take some more phone calls today. We've got a few lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Texas. Hey, Joe, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Well, good morning. So
hi there.
I got a real quick question about an IRA, and I've got some cash that's built up in an IRA, and I'm trying to decide if adding precious metals to that is a good diversification strategy. I know that, you know, when I look at the sector rotation numbers, precious metals seems to be doing better than some of the other sectors. So I'll be quiet and listen to what you guys, thanks for your answer to the last person, and I'll listen to what you have to say to this person.
Okay, Joe, well, thanks very much. Well, you're right. I mean, that's the whole idea behind diversification and what we call uncorrelated assets, which just simply means we don't put all of our eggs in one basket, because when certain assets are rising, others may be falling. And over time, we're able to smooth out the volatility by being exposed to lots of different asset classes. And in many cases, they're uncorrelated, which means, you know, they don't have an effect on each other. And depending on the economy or the environment, some perform better than others. But over time, the long-term trend is up and to the right. You know, we're growing our wealth over time, but we're kind of smoothing out the you know, peaks and valleys by being properly diversified. Plus, we're not, you know, just counting on one particular area to perform when that may be out of favor for a long time. In periods of uncertainty, especially in an environment like this, where you've got rates rising, you've got the prospect prospect of a recession. We've got, you know, we've just come off of the pandemic. Gold has performed well, and precious metals often perform well in environments like we're in right now, especially with high inflation. But that's not going to be the case forever, and that's why I like an allocation to gold. In fact, I would say your gold or precious metal allocation should be at the upper end of the range that you've set with your advisor about your, you know, allocation to that particular asset class. So if you had said, you know what, we want to be between 5 and 10% in gold, I think this is a time to be at the, you know, 10% end of that range. But I wouldn't overweight. I wouldn't go 15 or 20 or 25% in gold, or even to be highly concentrated, just because over the long haul, although it is a store of value and it's a hedge against a falling dollar and a difficult environment and uncertainty, it just doesn't have the long-term performance that a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio will. And it's going to be a little bit more volatile. Again, over the long run, we don't want to look at it in a very short time period. We want to look at how it's performed over a long period of time through lots of different economies and economic cycles, this obviously being one right now. So if it were me, Joe, I would stay, again, no more than probably 10% of your portfolio, but I would, you know, bump it up to that level if you're not already there. The only other question you have to decide is, do I want to take physical possession? Or do I want to buy a tracking stock or ETF? So do I want something that just follows the price of gold, like an exchange-traded fund? Or do I actually want to take, for instance, gold coins and buy them through a dealer and store them and secure them and hold them for a long, long time? I think either approach has its merits. You've got to decide which one you want to take. So hopefully that gives you some ideas to think about. Do you have any questions on that, Joe?
No, I appreciate your answer. I do wonder about that physical gold part, because they won't let me store that, you know, where I have personal access. They probably require me to store it where they can watch it, right? Is there a cost to that?
Well, most folks just actually, you know, put it either in a safe that they have, or you can put it in a safe deposit box. There is no federal law that governs safe deposit boxes at banks. And so you could do that, but most folks will just buy a fireproof safe and, you know, keep it, in that, in their home. But there are, you know, a number of options for that.
Thank you for your time.
Okay. God bless you, Joe. Thanks for checking with us today. We appreciate you calling. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. You know, as we think about managing God's money, one of the big ideas that jumps off the page in Scripture related to money management is contentment. We should be pursuing contentment. That means understanding that we have to live within God's provision, and we can't get caught up in the comparison trap, because that's a contentment killer. And we need to understand we have an abundance even before the first dollar, just from the promises of God. Hey, much more to come just around the corner. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got a few lines open today. We'd love to hear from you, 800-525-7000, whatever you're thinking about today. We'd love to tackle it together. Again, 800-525-7000. Let's head back to the phones to Texas. We go, hi, Linda. How can I help you?
Okay. Appreciate you talking with me. I have a little bit of a problem, I guess. We have a beneficiary IRA that we took out when my mother passed away. And come March, the last of March, it will be a year since that was put in the beneficiary IRA here at a local bank. Okay. And I was told, since I was the only one that had their name on the account, and I know my mother probably did not intend that, I will be dividing that with my brother and my sister in as equal a way as I possibly can. Come the 29th of March. And I'm wanting to know how I can go about, what do I do as far as taxes when that is taken out, and should I leave my part in there in order to avoid, I don't know what I'm going to do as far as taxes. That's my big problem.
Yeah, very good. So, Linda, when your mom passed away, you were the sole beneficiary of this IRA, but your desire is to share this with your siblings. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And was that a part of your mom's wishes, or that's just something you'd like to do?
Well, I kind of think that my mother meant it to be that way.
I see.
Because based on everything I have been told through my whole life.
Yes. Okay, very good. And do you realize you probably have the option to distribute this over 10 years as you take it out? Are you aware of that?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So typically when you inherit an IRA from a non-spouse, you have until December 31st of the 10th year after the year in which the account holder died, at which point you know, all assets need to be fully distributed in most cases. There are some exceptions to that, so I would check with your CPA, but that's typically the way it works. So that's one approach, is for you to say, listen, I'm going to distribute this over a period of time so we don't push it up, any portion of this up into a higher tax bracket. What's the balance on this IRA, roughly?
It's $67,193.54.
Okay. All right. And you are going to split it three ways. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, if you add $66,000 to your taxable income this year, that's going to, you know, push you perhaps a portion of this up into a higher tax bracket. So that's one way to lessen the hit on that. Now, it wouldn't necessarily have to be over 10 years, given the amount we're talking about. But even if you spread it over a couple of tax years, you could lessen the tax hit on it. Now, because you're having to pay the taxes, I think you need to distribute the after-tax amount, because you shouldn't have to, you know, take on the tax hit for the portion that you're giving to your siblings. And so what I would do is work with the CPA to determine, okay, based on how quickly they want the money distributed, if they want their, you know, third all at one time, your CPA could determine, okay, what is that going to mean when that amount is added to your taxable income for this year? You could withhold that amount. You could even go ahead and send it into the IRS as an estimated payment, and then you distribute what's remaining. And then what you would need to do is just decide, do you want to keep your portion in the IRA and let it continue to grow in whatever investments it's in, or do you want to go ahead and take it out as well? And if you don't need the money, you might as well leave it in there and let it grow for a period of time.
Okay. My brother, to be specific, he is the one that is really wanting the money.
Okay.
He's asked me all through the year when it comes due. And so if I were to take just his portion out, the entire part of his, and leave my sister's in there and distribute it over the years like you suggested, is that a possibility, do you think?
Yes. So I would check with your CPA, but you likely have 10 years to distribute this money. So what you could do is just take his portion, again, minus the estimated taxes, and then go ahead and pass that along to him, and then leave the portion that's coming to you and your sister in there, and just let it continue to grow for up to 10 years.
Okay. And you cannot take that out except at the maturity date each year, correct?
What is it invested in?
It just says a beneficiary IRA.
Okay, yeah, so it's just in the cash account. No, yes. You can take it out at any time. There is no maturity date.
Okay, all right.
Call the brokerage firm or the custodian and tell them you want to take a withdrawal. It's called a distribution, and then whatever you take out is added to your taxable income for the year of the withdrawal. And so you can do that at any time. The key is just making sure you understand, when it has to be completely distributed and down to zero, and make sure you comply with that. And then secondly, you'll want to match that up with the desire of your siblings in terms of how quickly they want the money. But again, I would make sure you pull the taxes out ahead of making that distribution, just so you don't get stuck with a tax bill for money you're not receiving.
And because it's a beneficiary IRA, I still have to pay taxes on it.
That's correct, because it's now it's an inherited IRA in your name after your mom's passing. And so you will be the one that will pay the tax on it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that and hope I have sense enough to carry it out.
I'm sure you will, Linda. We appreciate your call today. God bless you. You know, folks, as we think about wealth transfer, this is the last stewardship decision that we'll make. And that's why we need to give some thought to this. We need to have a plan. We need to think through who we want to leave God's resources to. There's only three options: the government, loved ones through an inheritance, or ministry and charity. And think through how we want to take God's money and pass it on, and what portion of it should we be giving right now. But it also means that we need to have our affairs in order. We need to have a will so that we can make sure that our assets, our personal effects are passed according to our wishes. It's surprising how many people still don't have a will. And so you need to get one if you don't. Do you want a trust where maybe you have the desire to have a little bit more control over your assets, either if you're incapacitated prior to death or after death? If there's a certain situation you have with maybe a lifelong dependent or somebody that's going to need money over a long period of time, or you want certain triggering events to occur before the assets are distributed, or maybe you just want things to pass efficiently outside of probate a little quicker. You can certainly do that through a revocable trust, and that might be what you'd want to look at. So I think it's incumbent upon all of us, given the significance of this final stewardship decision we'll make, to sit with a godly estate planning attorney and make sure all of these things are in place. And while you're there, go ahead and take care of a durable power of attorney and a healthcare surrogate and even a living will so your desires can be carried out with regard to end-of-life decisions. I know those aren't things we like to think about, but I think it's good stewardship. Hey, we also need to make sure that if you're the bookkeeper, the one that keeps the financial affairs in order, even though you're setting goals jointly, your other spouse may not know where things are located, accounts and professionals and login information. So have all of that documented, because if the Lord were to take you home, you want to make sure that that other spouse is well prepared. 800-525-7000. More of your questions just around the corner. We'll be right back.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today, because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
Do you see yourself too sinful for God to care? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
You know, one of the big reasons why people have a love problem with the Lord is because they haven't received His love for them. They don't really compute that. They don't really believe that God could really and truly love them without conditions. But He does.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org.
chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. You know, we love to receive your emails. They come in every day at askrob@faithfi.com. That's askrob@faithfi.com. Let's take one of those. This comes from a listener in Nebraska. He writes, I thought having some money to invest was supposed to bring me peace, but I'm a wreck because I'm losing money and I don't have any control over stocks or mutual funds. I'm not trying to get rich. I just don't want to go broke. I'm sure there's a lot of folks who can resonate with what our listener is saying right now. He says, can you recommend a book from a Christian perspective on how to manage my emotions while investing in a volatile market? And I sure can. First of all, thank you for writing to us. And I can certainly understand where you're coming from with regard to the concerns you have related to your emotions. You know, I think as we think about investing, number one, we need to follow biblical principles. One of the ways we can, handle a volatile market is to be properly diversified, not have all of our eggs in one basket, to not try to invest in speculative stocks that are high flyers that we think are going to get us rich quick overnight, because those tend to have a lot more volatility associated with them. We need to instead take a more prudent biblical approach, which the Bible calls steady plotting, sure and steady over a long period of time. It's just kind of like our Christian life. We need to be faithful and obedient day after day, in the same direction for a long time period, and our investing is always going to do better. We also need a plan, and I think that plan needs to be written down, and that's really where an advisor can come in, because we're taking really a prudent approach to our investing. We've thought through it, and we have a disciplined strategy that's rules-based, and we can rely on that strategy, especially when we're, you know, worried about the volatility. We can come back to that and say, okay, why did we select the investment allocation we did? Why is this right for me? And if I feel confident in that, then I'm have a greater ability to look long term in terms of understanding that it's going to play out over time, even though a given quarter or year, you know, may be a bit more volatile than I like. I think it's important that we make it a matter of prayer and really guard our emotions and perhaps turn off the financial media or financial news cycle that, you know, we can get caught up in watching on television or on the internet. Don't, you know, look at your account balance every day. I mean, I think, you know, you need to protect your emotions in all of this. And if you do that, you know, I think that it will help you to overcome maybe any anxiety you're facing. As to a book that could help in this case, I love the Sound Mind Investing Handbook. You'll find it on Amazon or wherever you buy books. It's been recently updated. It's by our friends at Sound Mind Investing, written by Austin Pryor. And it's been a classic in biblical finance for a long, long time. And I think that could be a great resource to begin to understand God's heart here, but also become educated in this area of investing, which that will help to counteract some of these emotions as well. When something is misunderstood or you just don't know what's going on, it can often lead to fear because of the what-if game that we can play. But if we understand what's happening and maybe do some education along the way, I think that'll help to overcome some of the anxiousness and anxiety that you're facing. Thanks for writing to us. Again, if you have a question, send it along. Ask Rob at faithfi.com. All right, let's head back to the phones. Hi, Gloria. Thanks for calling today from North Carolina. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you so much. You are so insightful. I've learned so much. However,
I appreciate it.
I had a small, I had a small hiccup yesterday. I am a retired teacher, and I thought it would be quite simple to designate my Barla Vista Baptist Church in Hampstead, North Carolina, as my beneficiary. Well, it's not. I'm so glad I called into retirement. They said I need to make it a trust to the church. I don't have a clue how to do that or why it's not as simple as put the church's tax ID. You know, I say, kiss it, keep it short and simple. It's complicated. My dog's in the background. Sorry.
No problem. often 401k, is this a 401k or you said it's a teacher's retirement? Is that right?
It's retirement. Yes.
Yeah.
It's not a 401k.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so in many cases, like with an IRA, you can absolutely make your church your beneficiary. In some cases with other retirement accounts, 401ks, and even perhaps what you're talking about, the plan administrator may limit who is a permissible beneficiary, which just simply means they have the right to say whether or not you can name a nonprofit as the beneficiary. And in this case, they're saying, no, they won't allow you to do that. So what you would have to do, to their point, is put it into a trust. And what I think your next step is here is for you to look at, you know, talking to a godly estate planning attorney, Gloria, just so you can work through what options you have, which would be the most cost effective, and how your wishes can be honored to make sure that it gets ultimately to the place you're looking to get it to. And obviously, if you can't do it through a named beneficiary, which is going to be the simplest and the most cost effective, then you're going to have to look at other means. There will be other options, but it is going to involve an attorney helping you get it set up. Do you know an estate planning attorney you could set an appointment with?
No, I really don't. And I am hoping once I get back with the pastor's wife today that maybe the church has an attorney. Who knows?
Yeah.
You don't know until you ask. And furthermore, if I left it to the pastor, for example, the deacons would make sure, and the pastor, they are so wonderful. my gosh, does he ever more preach God's word. I miss my church dearly. I'm an hour and 15 minutes away now. Anyways, if I left it to him, he would give it to the church. I mean, but there's a lot of, you know, red tape and all that. So I want to make it easy on everyone.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think there's definitely a plan here. And this is really, this underscores the need for planning to make sure that you can distribute these assets the way that you want. You know, it could be that a charitable trust is the best option. I mean, that is going to allow you to control charitable contributions. And that, you know, could also help from a tax standpoint. So there's a number of options to consider. I think once an attorney understands what you'd like to do with the money and where you ultimately want it to go, then they can help to craft the plan that's going to have that happen in the most efficient and expedited way. But it is going to require a conversation. And to your point, perhaps the church could make a recommendation on an attorney, but I think that's your next step, Gloria.
So charitable, what was those words again?
It could be a charitable trust or just a revocable trust, either option. And I think, you know, this attorney could help you think through that. I'm confident you'll get there, and I'm glad you're thinking about this now and you've asked the right questions that's caused you to wonder, what do I need to do here to make this happen in the most efficient way? And so let us know how that turns out. We appreciate you checking with us, and thanks for your kind remarks about the program today. We appreciate it very much. Hey, let's tackle another email. This one comes to us from Ron. Here's what Ron writes. He says, I'm 4 years away from retirement. My wife is disabled and has been drawing Social Security since her 20s. When I retire, can she draw half of my Social Security? That would provide her more than she gets based on her earnings. She will be 62 when I retire. And yes, the answer is she sure can, Ron. She'll have to wait until she's 62 to begin drawing Social Security benefits, but she can do that once you retire. So as long as you're retired and she's at least 62, then she'd be able to get up to half as her spousal benefit, and the IRS will automatically give her the higher of the two based on both of her benefits. And in this case, if her spousal benefit is a little higher, then she will certainly be able to switch over to that. Ron, thanks for writing to us again. If you have a question, send it along to us at askrob@faithfi.com. You know, folks, we've covered a lot of ground today. I think as we think about God's money and our role in managing it, you know, oftentimes we can be caught with indecision and frustration in managing our financial lives because there's seemingly just an unending number of options or choices we have to make with regard to God's money. Here's the reality, though, is we can simplify it just to five things. There's really only five things we can do with money. There's the money we live on, the money we give, the money we pay or owe for debt and taxes, and the money we grow. So we can simplify that to live, give, owe, and grow. And here's the great thing is that God's word speaks to all of them. You know, we find principles in God's word that are timeless and transcendent. They work under any circumstance and any tax code, no matter what the Federal Reserve is doing, it always works. And so we can have confidence in God's word as we manage his money. But what we have to realize is that, first of all, there's no independent financial decisions. Every decision I make with money has a corresponding impact in some other area of my financial life. So we need to pray through it. We need to prioritize, and we need to make sure it's taking us in a direction that's going to accomplish our goals. We also recognize the longer term our perspective, the better our decision today. And so we need to be looking long term. We need to be thinking down the road. We also need to realize that financial maturity is about being able to give up today's desires for future benefits. So if I define where I'm headed and I know the why behind it with regard to my financial goals, well, then I can give up today's desires because I know it's going to take me ultimately where I want to go so I can accomplish what God has placed on my heart or if in a case of a married couple on our hearts as a family. So think about that today. Perhaps revisit your financial goals in light of your values and see if some changes are in order. Hey, thanks for being along with us today. On behalf of my team, Robert Sutherland, Devin Patrick, and Pat Montague, I'm Rob West, and so delighted to have you with us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Hope you enjoy your Valentine's Day, and then come back and join us tomorrow. We'll be here to do it all over again. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.